30. Our history in the last Adam. Our history in the last Adam, our risen Lord Jesus, begins on the only basis for resurrection life, which is death. Our relationship to the first Adam rendered us dead in sin, but our death with Christ made us dead to sin, or dead in relation to sin, the one condition for newness of life. So first, in Christ buried. There in the tomb we must see ourselves as dead to Adam, yet not yet alive to Christ. Our individual identity hasn't changed, but our relationship to the fleshly Adam has, and thank God. Therefore we have been buried with him. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ on the cross, having been buried with him. Romans 6 verse 4 and Colossians 2 verses 11 and 12. Death, that is our ruin, death has been made the very means of our triumph over it. Death is swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 and 57. Next, we look at in Christ risen. His death and burial having done its liberating work on our behalf, we can now begin to look up. That is, from death to Adam, fallen, to birth in Christ, risen. When the Lord Jesus burst the bonds of death, he took us with him in his glorious resurrection life. Just as Christ was raised from among the dead by the Father's glorious power, we also should live an entirely new life. For since we have become one with him by sharing in his death, we shall also be one with him by sharing in his resurrection. Romans 6 verses 4 and 5. Now, safely and forever on resurrection ground with him, we can study first our new position of life, second, our new nature of righteousness, and third, our new walk of fruitfulness. First, our new position of life. Whereas our old position in the first Adam made us dead to God and alive to sin, our new position in the risen last Adam makes us alive to God and dead to sin. In Colossians 3 verse 3 we read, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Formerly our judge, now by means of his Son's death and resurrection, he is free to be our Father, and we his sons. We read in 1 John 3 verse 2, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God." And in Galatians 4 verse 6, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Secondly, we look at our new nature of righteousness. In our co-resurrection with Christ, our Father gave us a new life with a new nature which can only bring forth righteousness. In 1 Peter 1 verse 3 we read this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." The old life isn't changed, but exchanged for that which is altogether new. Paul's clearest description of this is given in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Our Father sees each of us as completely new in his Son. We have been forever freed from our relationship to the first Adam with its reign of sin and death. And he wants us to see ourselves from his point of view, that is, new creations in Christ Jesus. It might be helpful for us to consider further the fact that in this death-to-life transition, our personal identity is kept intact. We remain the same individual while acquiring a new position, a new life, a new nature in the risen Lord Jesus. The Father maintains the identity of each believer throughout the process of the cross, the tomb, and the resurrection. In Colossians 1, verses 21 and 22, and chapter 2, verse 13, we read the following. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet hath now he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. We are in Christ ascended. Being identified with the Lord Jesus in his death to sin and his resurrection into life, we are also in him in his ascended life at the Father's right hand. Born from above, we are to abide above. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 7, we read the following. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us, through Jesus Christ. Oh, and so thirdly, we look at our new walk of fruitfulness. As newly created believers, we are in the Lord Jesus in the heavenlies, while at the same time we are in the Spirit of Christ here on earth. The Comforter is our environment in this sin-cursed world. Romans 8 verse 9 says this, But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. He it is who ministers the life of the Lord Jesus in us as our new life. It is he who develops the characteristics of that life in and through our new nature. On the one hand, he applies the finished work of the cross to the life of the flesh within. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfil the lusts of the flesh, Galatians 5:16. On the other hand, he causes the fruit of the Spirit to grow in our new life. And remember that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Galatians 5:22 and 23. A close look at Galatians 2 verse 20 may further clarify the distinction between what we were in the first Adam and who we now are in the last Adam. Galatians 2 verse 20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. There are vital differences here that when seen, make a world of difference. First, I, that is, the old man in Adam, I have been crucified with Christ. Secondly, it is no longer the old I that lives, but Christ lives in me, the new creation. Third, the life which I, the new man, now live in the flesh, in the body, I, the new man, live in faith. And fourth, this faith is in the Son of God who loved me as a lost individual and gave himself up for me, a sinner. The oft-quoted words, "not I, but Christ," tend to give the believer the impression that he, as a person, is crucified, and he is out of the picture, and now there is only Christ as this new life. He's wont to feel that he must somehow get himself out of the way, and that Christ may be all. Granted, the old self must go down, but the new self must grow up. Oh, it's true that he is our risen life, but it is also true that he is the life and nature of our newly created life. Philippians 1:21 says this, "For to me to live is Christ." And in Colossians 3:4, "Christ, who is our life." We are not to become lost in him, but he is to be found in us. 2 Corinthians 4:11 says it this way, "that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." He lives in me, not instead of me, in me. He is the source, and he is the motivation of my Christian life. I am to realise and rest in the fact that it is my being, my personality, which is enlifted by the human divine life and the nature of the Lord Jesus. I'm the same person, but with a new life in union with his life. By the ministry of the indwelling Holy Spirit, I will grow in grace and increasingly be conformed to his image.